Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leader Series show. We are live in studio this week again with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, focusing on her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It is awesome to be here. I am so excited about today's show and jumping in on this principle of how the Omega Leader practiced the Rule of Seven. And this week your tweets out have been interesting because they're a little bit different, positioning this biblical perspective of what it of what the number seven means in the Bible and from the Bible. And so I think to kick off the show, let us just go through this list of passages real quick. But according to Genesis, the world was created in 6 days, with God resting on the seventh. Jacob served 7 years to earn the hand of Rachel. Egypt had 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. In Leviticus, the priests are told to sprinkle the blood of the offering 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the tabernacle. Joshua was told to march around the city of Jericho 7 times with 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets whose blast made the walls of the city fall. Elisha instructed Naaman to wash in the Jordan 7 times in order to be healed of his leprosy. In Psalms 119, David sang, 7 times a day do I praise thee. In Proverbs 9, we are told that wisdom hath hewn out her 7 pillars. Wow, what an amazing, amazing number of 7. Talk to us about this.
Well, there's just more. I just want to give our listeners just where I'm coming from in this chapter. In Proverbs, it says, for though the upright falls 7 times, they get up again. Jesus told his followers, if someone sins against you 7 times, you forgive them 7 times. And when he asked them how many loaves they had to give him, they had 7 loaves, and he multiplied that. So obviously there's a significance there beyond the actual number. And what I've been told is that 1 represents God and 6 represents humanity. So the number 666 represents a human posing as the Trinity. So if you have 6 plus 1, that's God plus humanity equals 7, the completion. The Word becomes flesh, which is Christ.
Beautiful.
So I had a lot of fun with this, thinking about the significance of these chapters and mostly what it means for management, because when you think about Naaman being told to go 7 times,
right?
What if he'd only gone 3 or 4 and said, well, this isn't working? And I tell the story that Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles share in one of their books about a young man that was told to break a slab of concrete, and he kept hitting it, and nothing would happen. And then his boss, who was much smaller, came up and hit it once, and it just disintegrated. and the guy said, I thought I was stronger than you. And he said, you just gave up too soon. So there's a lot in this lesson about persistence and walking into the river 7 times. You know, we want instant gratification. We think that we're supposed to speak the word and it's supposed to disintegrate. But the Jericho walls didn't fall until 7 circular trips with 7 priests blasting 7 trumpets, which means persistence, 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 knowing that you have God on your side.
Wow. We could talk about this for, a couple of days, right? We've got 15 minutes to get our heads around this and help folks that that might be struggling with persistence or any of these strategic words that we could come up with today. What is it, Lori, in this message of 7? You said that there's more to it than just the fact that it's numeric. What else is behind this? What was the Omega Leader conveying to us?
Well, I believe it's certainly forgiveness. You know, if someone makes the same mistake over and over and over again, the human including my tendency, is to say, look, you know, you're a non-learner,
mm-hmm.
and I'm over this. I'm done with you.
Right.
But Christ says, and they asked him, how many times should you forgive someone? And he said, seven times seven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other
seven
words,
times 70.
Yeah, times 70. It's really unlimited, the amount of forgiveness that is required. And I think, too, I'm thinking back to my advertising and marketing days. We were told you have seven. It takes someone seven times to hear your message before they
mm-hmm.
begin to act. And
probably
I know,
more than that today.
Yeah.
Huh?
And I know with you, you know, in the church planting and the assimilation process, seven touches, that,
mm-hmm.
that you don't just give up when someone, you say, hi, welcome to the church, and then you wonder why they don't come back. It's
right.
It's consistency. It's what the world is hungry for, is that we will keep at it even when it doesn't fall the first time or the second time or the third time.
Yeah.
You know, we will prevail.
So the essence here isn't to do something seven times and then, okay, we've got it. The message here is persistence. These words that you're, you know, completion, you talk about that seven means completion, that seven means faith, that seven means persistence. So we're getting into an area of intention, maybe a little bit, or our agenda around something. You know, how do we stick with it? How do we see it through? As leaders today, as managers, CEOs, pastors, principals, teachers, how do we stay on it? How do we keep our hand on the plow and not look back? You know, in the face sometimes of adversity or challenge when we've done it 40 times and it doesn't seem to be changing or shifting, or we can't see the gauge moving.
I read a quote the other day that struck me, and it said, what's required of leadership is that the voice inside your head is stronger than the voices of the others around you.
Hmm.
And so when we're seeking God and we're seeking to be led by God, then that vision, we have to believe in that vision even when the results don't seem to support that. In one of my books, I tell the story of Lourdes, the little farm girl in France who was told to start digging. She saw the Virgin, had an apparition of the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary told her to start digging in the dirt. And so she did every day until her fingers were raw.
Mm.
And people were laughing at her, and her family was laughing at her. And she'd come home with dirt under her fingernails, and on the seventh day, a spring sprang up from where she began digging,
mm-hmm.
and that's Lourdes. And if you've ever been to Europe, that is a place to see, because you see the thrown away crutches and all the visual signs of healing that have taken place. And it was a young girl's faith that God said, dig here, and she did.
Right.
So, you know, I'm thinking for myself with this chapter that as a wind fire, it's very easy for me to get discouraged
mm-hmm.
and to give up when things don't seem to move as quickly as I want them to move. And I think patience, the church sermon this Sunday was on patience, the gift of patience, that it takes time for good to grow,
sure.
for God to grow things. And we forget about that in our instant society.
Yeah. I love this principle because it, you know, I think the takeaway, you know, for me is that the question that you ask about teams, where in your work situation could you practice the rule of seven? You know, I think that's a powerful question because, as you've just indicated, it's easy for us to rush in to solve something the way we think it needs to be solved or the way it needs to be handled. But what if we thought about it seven times before we acted?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if we... You know, we just kept this rule of seven, you know, in view. It reminds me of these other rules and not so much rules, but Jesus said, you know, I really came to abolish, you know, the kind of rule keeping that was going on in his day. And he said, you know, it all hangs on these two things, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it really hangs on love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the principle of seven could be very similar to that. You know, it's practicing love, really.
Right.
Teaching us that You know, it doesn't always have to be the wind, fire, fashion in which we move into teams or management or leadership. Sometimes it is that water mode, you know, to be still and know before we move.
Right.
And that's a great principle, great teaching.
And I think, too, that it behooves us to think about gratitude, that we stand on the shoulders of giants.
Mm-hmm.
And recently in the State of the Union address, we were reminded that the highways were subsidized by the government that we all drive upon, and that, you know, the big multimillionaires make their money on the information highway, which was subsidized by the government, the military. So sometimes we look at entrepreneurs and we think, oh, they're so smart, and yet if they didn't have the infrastructure that people patiently laid down for the common good, then where would they be? So let's not ever think that someone can just come dancing in and make it happen on their own.
Which takes me back in my mind, obviously, to an elemental picture, right? Whether we're talking about the State of the Union or, you know, the state of our team, you know, it's that fire, earth, water, wind components that really all have to come into balance, into kind of this completion that you talk about. You know, seven is a number for completion. And so if we look at those that we're leading or those that we are working alongside as in an elemental picture, having a complete elemental understanding, elemental view of that team or that situation could get us further down the road of practicing the rule of seven.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Very well said.
So I don't know how much time we've got here, Lori, but I know we're coming up on a 3-minute call here. Anything else that pops into your head right now about this chapter in regards to when you said that seven means faith, that kind of stuck out to me a little bit. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think the word becoming flesh, that it's all going to work out. I read a scripture, it wasn't a scripture, it was in a poetry book, and it said, I must trust that the one who brought me here will also bring me home. And there was another image in there about feel the buoyancy underneath you. That we get so caught up and so tense, you know, making things happen and being focused right under what's under our nose, that we forget the heavens or the pear trees that are blossoming or the seals that are playing on the rocks and the waves crashing. And when the waves, I was there at lunch in La Jolla Cove watching the seals play on the rocks, and this wave came in and the seals saw it coming and just dove into it and just played with it instead of saying, oh, no, it's going to crash all over me. You know, it's just like, what if we treated ourselves more lightly?
Wow. Yeah, I love that. I love the images in this section of the book. A very sweet surprise to remind us that, you know, even that, you know, the world was created in 6 days, you know, that God created the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh, you know, God rested. There's just so much magic and mystery in that whole principle that thank you so much for sharing it with us this week and reminding us that that this is a powerful piece to hold in our hands.
Yes, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember to forgive 7 times 70. Remember to go to the river 7 times to be healed of whatever's ailing you. And remember to keep marching and blowing that trumpet of the vision 7 times with your 7 priests.
Yeah.
And watch that wall and those obstacles fall.
Beautiful. And remember, 6 plus 1 is 7.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lori Beth, for this time again today. We so appreciate your work around this the concepts of the Omega Leader. And also, just a reminder, next week we'll be out, but we'll be back the following week with more of Teach Your Team to Fish principles. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Shelley.